Chapter 26. The First New Chartered Schools Outside the Mainstream. City Academy became the first chartered school to open in the United States on September 7, 1992. Yes! Summer, 1992. Things were still moving slowly on the Minnesota front. By the end of the 1992 legislative session in May, the Minnesota State Board of Education had granted approval to only 2 of the 8 allowed chartered schools, Bluffview Montessori School in Winona and Tuavola Meadowlands in northern Minnesota. That summer, the State Board of Education would approve 2 more chartered schools. They would be the final schools approved that year. There was good news and less than good news about the 3rd and 4th approved charters. The less than good news was that both schools focused on special student populations, so they had little impact on the general school district populations. Clearly, local school boards were holding back any proposals that might serve the same students as they did. They were ironically helping to build our case for change in the 1993 legislature. The good news, though, was that both were new schools, consistent with the original intent of the chartering legislation. They were excellent proposals that met specific needs for the students and the community. On June 9, 1992, the Minnesota State Board of Education granted approval to City Academy, which was previously approved by its sponsor, the St. Paul Board of Education. With an operations plan well in hand, City Academy was ready to open that fall. It became the first chartered school to open in the United States on September 7, 1992. Yes! The school was created to attract hard-to-reach learners between the ages of 16 and 21 who had dropped out or were at risk of dropping out. St. Paul Mayor Jim Scheibel was instrumental in helping City Academy find a suitable, low-cost facility in a park and recreation building in a low-income neighborhood on the east side of St. Paul. St. Paul Superintendent Kerman Gaines was also supportive. The school was the dream of 2 former Guadalupe Area Project teachers and Baron Chapman, a City of St. Paul recreation assistant. Teachers Milo Cutter and Terry Crable worked over a year on the proposal before they approached the St. Paul School Board in March 1992. As reported in the March 11, 1992 St. Paul Pioneer Press, teacher Terry Crable said his school would not take away money from St. Paul schools because it would serve mostly dropouts. "We have seen a lot of kids fall through the cracks of the public school system," said Crable, who taught at the Red Schoolhouse, a private school for Indian children, for 2 years before teaching last year at Guadalupe. "We have finally figured out that we have to change the way we teach." In his school, he said, students would receive counseling, personalized instruction, and hands-on learning. As reported in the article, Gaines said he did not view the proposed charter as a competitor of the school district because the students it would serve were not in school anyway. That may have been a key factor in the St. Paul School Board's decision to approve the charter. The local teacher union, however, was not supportive. As reported in the article, Gladys Weston, president of the St. Paul Federation of Teachers, said her group was opposed to any chartered schools. "We see it as the siphoning off of public dollars to private schools," she said. In the fall, the school would open as a year-round program with 35 students. It had 3 full-time teachers and a first-year budget of $200,000. Cutter became its director. As the first and only chartered school to open in 1992, City Academy and Cutter pioneered a path for many others throughout the state and nation. The school was successful. At the end of its first year, spring 1993, 15 of the 17 graduates were registered to attend post-secondary institutions in the fall. And 8 years later, in 2000, President Bill Clinton would travel to City Academy to recognize its long-term success as the first chartered school in the nation. It was a moving and well-deserved tribute to Cutter, the teachers, and alumni. City Academy was in a class by itself. On August 10, 1992, the Minnesota State Board of Education approved the fourth charter applicant, the Metro Deaf School, which was scheduled to open in the fall of 1993. Sponsored by the Forest Lake School District, the school would serve students in grades 6 through 8 who were deaf and hard of hearing. It was the first chartered school specifically directed to students with disabilities. Scott Haskins, co-chair of the parents group that planned the school, had brought the proposal before the Forest Lake School Board in April 1992. Haskins told the board that past 6th grade, the only program in the state for children who were deaf was the residential Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf in Faribault, about 90 minutes south of the Twin Cities. In the March 30, 1992 issue of the St. Paul Pioneer Press, reporter Linda Owen quoted Haskins as saying, "We're looking for an opportunity for our children to get on the bus, go to school, and come home at night. It's not my liking to send my 13-year-old to live at school Monday through Friday and only come home on the weekend." At Metro Deaf School, students as well as their families would be taught the language, culture, and history of the deaf community. Students would learn all content subjects in American Sign Language, ASL, with English as a second language. They would also participate in developing their own learning outcomes. Ideally, said Haskins, the majority of the school's teachers and administrators would be deaf or hard of hearing, so the children would have role models to follow. The school's steering committee was made up of 4 people who were deaf and 3 who were not. School officials hoped the school could expand to eventually serve students through the 12th grade. That appeared feasible, with more than 1,500 students in Minnesota at the time who were deaf and hard of hearing. After meeting with representatives of the deaf community, Governor Arne Carlson endorsed the deaf school. Forest Lake Superintendent Gerald Brynildsen, who had been cool to the chartering concept, was quoted in Owen's article as saying that this deaf school proposal would at least be a new idea more in line with the intent of the chartering law. Ted Coldery attended the hearing before the Minnesota State Board of Education and recalls it vividly. "It was summer, school was out, so a lot of students were there, deaf students, and the student member of the state board. All the discussion was among the adults. When they were about to adjourn, at the any further questions point, this student member said, 'Yes, I'd like to hear from the students.' There was moderate consternation, and a half dozen students filed over to the side of the room. Somebody was there to translate. 'Why would you like to go to this school?' was the question. One kid just said, 'I want to live at home where I can play with my dog and go to a school where I can talk to my friends.' The application was approved without a dissenting vote." True, this chartered school served a special population and was not a mainstream school, even in the chartering sense. Maybe this school wasn't exactly what we envisioned charters to be, but it was still a joy to watch the parents and their children realize their vision in creating this school uniquely suited to their needs. With only 4 chartered schools approved in the first 18 months following passage of the legislation, progress was indeed slow. The results had not exactly met our expectations. To Coldery, more needed to be done if chartering were to survive. A second state legislature, and not just any state legislature, needed to step up to the plate.